This reading comes from John, chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is." But others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" He replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now, Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. And they asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age, he can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Messiah, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind, and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see,' so your sin remains."
Close your eyes. Extend your other senses. What do you hear? What do you smell? What do you feel? I know it is impossible, but imagine never having had sight. What would your world be? Would it be dark if you never knew light? Or would it be full of wonders that many of us sighted overlook? Now, wash your eyes in the pool to which you were sent, and open them. Was your world of sensations before the pool enough? Is this world of light what you always desired? Many of you know Alex, my son. You may not know that when he was born, he experienced seizures we could not explain. At the newborn intensive care unit, a priest came to visit. He greeted us, celebrating what a sign of God's grace it was that Alex was at this wonderful hospital, which immediately raised the question for us, was it a sign of God's displeasure then that Alex was struck with this affliction in the first place? Rabbi, the crowd asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Whose fault is it that we are afflicted? Is God punishing us for our sins or those of our forebears? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We are God's work, afflictions and all. All that we bring to the table is a gift. At a meditation at Wisdom Ways some years ago, all that I could hear as I planted my feet and steadied my breath was the tinnitus ringing in my ears. I decided that it would become a gift for me, the unbearable, unknowable, ever-present voice of God. It rings in my ears still. I choose to believe that my tinnitus is the work of God displayed in me, that Alex's palsy is the work of God displayed in him, that the man's blindness happened, as Jesus said, so that the works of God might be displayed. And yet, that blindness was healed. I find the agency in this healing remarkable. Did Jesus actually heal this blindness? I don't see that said in this reading. Jesus put mud and spit on the man's eyes, instructed him to wash it off, and when the man did so, he could see. That is the account in the reading. That is the story the man recounts for the Pharisees. What if the man had not obeyed Jesus' instructions? What if he had not washed off the muck of the world, or washed in a different pool? Was the healing in the mud, in the spit, in the pool itself, in the man's own heart, or in his act of obedience? I'm not sure. Are you? Does either Jesus or the man himself ever say? The lesson that stays with me from this story is that Jesus left the blind man to act, to resolve the situation for himself. Was putting mud and spit on the man's face any improvement of his situation? I'd say not really. Is the muck of the world, the spit of our neighbor, the smell of the sheep, really what any of us want? Is it up to us to decide if we want to wash this off ourselves? We have to journey to the pool to which we are called. We have to reach for the water. We have to wash our own face. And we have to open our own eyes with faith and eagerness all our own. We make our own decisions, choosing the world of sensations we know, or the world of light to which we are called. We have agency. God provides the dirt and maybe the whisper of the Holy Spirit, but we choose our action. I had no idea what path lay before Alex when I sang to him in the NICU. Would he walk? Would he talk? I realized that the idea that we could control the outcome of something like a life was an illusion. I realized that at any moment, something could happen that rips away the illusion of control, the sensations of the world as I had known it, and floods me with new information, a searing light that makes no sense, provides little comfort, but is the new world within which I live. My choices were my choices, but their consequences were unpredictable. I simply had to do my best, to remain open. The no longer blind man decides to credit Jesus with opening his eyes, with being a channel for God's work. He decides to believe that Jesus is the Son of Man. And Jesus, for his part, turns to the Pharisees and points out that it is their very sight, their claim that they know how the world works, that condemns them. If they were blind, they would not be guilty of sin. But they claim to see, so their guilt remains. There is no guilt in blindness, Jesus seems to be saying, but there is a great responsibility in sight. God's gifts are present in both cases. A world of sensation, suffering, and joy awaits you on whatever path you choose. But woe to you who obey the call to wash your face, who venture to your own pool, wipe off the spit and muck, and let in the light, and then turn away from what you see.